All right, this morning I want to talk to you about being one in the image of and likeness of God. I want to talk about being one in His image and in His likeness, the image and likeness of God. I would like to start by reading a few scriptures first from the book of Genesis and Ephesians. This morning we're talking about the image and likeness. What is the eternal purpose in which God has put within our being and within His church? So as we open up with Genesis chapter 1, and from there we read from verse 26 onwards. It says this, "Then God said, 'Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, then let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth.'" In verse 27, it says, "So God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him, male and female, He created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, 'Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and every living thing that moves on the earth.'" The next one, sorry, I want to read is Romans first, and then we'll read Ephesians. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verse 28 to 30. It says, "And we know all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose. For whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed in the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He predestined, these He also called. Whom He called, these He also justified, and Him whom He justified, these He also glorified." I want to read one more scripture in Ephesians chapter 3. Reading from verse 8, this is what it says. "To me, who am," talking about Paul, "who am less than the least of all the saints, the grace was given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God, who created all things through Jesus Christ. To the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places." And the key verse here is, "according to the eternal purpose which He accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord." You know, we talk about being one in the image and likeness of God. What is the purpose? What is your purpose? What is my purpose? What is the common purpose that every individual are called to? All right, we have, as we say, we've got the individual aspect of our lives and we've got the corporate. But there's one thing, regardless of whatever it is, that we are called, we've been predestined to be and called to be in the image and the likeness of God. Because we need to be one with our Savior. We need to be one with God. And so when we talk about our purpose, our destiny, as we've been learning in this season of time, we know that the enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy. All right, and the enemy's goal is to prevent us to represent or to grow that seed that is in the inside of us. The eternal purpose that God has put in the inside of us as believers, just as people to be in His image and in His likeness, because it is out of His image and likeness that they were to reproduce, multiply, be fruitful, and they were to be blessed, because they had the image and likeness of God. That was the purpose. Before they went out to multiply, the key was they had to have the image and likeness of God. That's why God can't use us unless we are born again. Unless we are born again, God cannot use us. So the image and likeness of God in us, the seed of God, this incorruptible seed of God. And because it is a purpose that God has put in within us, it is a drive that God puts within us. When we are born again, you become a new person, a new creation, and there this new seed in the inside of us. Is that right? Are you born again here this morning? Yeah. You're born again. When I was born again, there is a drive within that makes you want to know God more and more. Because the scriptures tells us in John, which is very scriptural, eternal life is to know Him and Jesus Christ whom He sent. So you will find that if we are genuinely from our hearts, really born again, so they mention it, and I thought that was the craziest thought ever, to study in the Bible at 5 a.m. in the morning. But nevertheless, there was a hunger within me to want to study, because I saw there was something in this church that I could, the Word of God was just so expounded, and it was just so clear that I wanted the Word of God. And so, without knowing whether I would even commit myself or even like that, I had no idea at that point in time. But, they just mentioned to me, and I thought, oh, let me find out. So on Sunday, I found out, and they say 5 o'clock, and I don't know what to expect and what the expectation is, but I went nevertheless. But at that time, there was no one telling me, it's a good thing for you, you will grow. And no one told me that, because I wanted it. There was something inside of me that I wanted to know God. And so as a result, when we are born again, there is something within us that does want to know who God is. That's because we are made in the image and likeness, and there's a purpose in us. And we, when we are born again, we are born to serve that purpose. And that's why the reason why we cannot fully find fulfillment until we find God in our lives, because we are made in His image and in His likeness, and nothing, like Brother Keith was saying this morning, nothing can fill that void. And it is true. It is true. And so that's why when we are born again, inside of us, there will be a drive within us to want more of God, to want the things of God. I am nowhere near there. I still have people that encourage me, that stretch me in many ways. But hey, inside of us, there is something that's longing for it. And when you respond to that, then new things can happen. Amen? Amen. And so what is this eternal purpose that God puts in each and every one of us is to be conformed in the image and the likeness of God. As we have read in Romans chapter 8, that he predestined us to be conformed in the image and likeness of God. You know, the image of God, I would say, speaks as well as our morality. Image. What image do you give? You know, the image. And the likeness speaks of the character of God. His ways, his thoughts, his the way he God thinks. And so to be in the image and likeness of God is not just talking, as we know, the physical aspects of what we look like, but we're talking about our morality and our character, the way we think, the way we thought, the way we live, and the way we express ourselves, to be in the image and in the likeness of God. So our destiny is to be in conform to his image and likeness. And the enemy will put everything in his, as we learn, you know, and the enemy will put everything that he can to get us away from the purpose. And as long as he gets to do that, we can never fulfill destiny. That's the reason why, even though that's a message that God has put in my heart, we talk about pulling our strength in the power of one. But if we don't come to this realization that it starts with me pursuing God and pursuing the things of the Spirit to be in his image and likeness, we will find it very difficult to come together as a church and do the same thing. Because why? Corinthians tells us very clearly, there's the carnal mind and the spiritual mind, and they fight each other. And for this reason, there is all kinds of conflicts happening. And so we find that it is so important to know that this life that we have is to express the image and the likeness. It speaks of our morality and it speaks of our character. And so how do we, as believers, go on a journey to fulfill that destiny? All right, we got to fulfill that destiny. It's going to be based on what we do with two things, at least two things here this morning. I want to talk about the word dimension, number one, and number two, the spirit dimension. You know, God is constantly speaking his word. In fact, in the book of John, it says, in the beginning was the word was with God, and the word was God. Okay, and I realized something is like the word is God. So that means God is the word, right? He's the truth, he's the way, he's the life. So he is the word. And if the word is coming to me, then I must become the word. As he is the word, and if his life is in me, my life must become the word. So in the beginning was the word, the beginning he was with God, but he is the word. And so I am called, if I'm in his image and in his likeness, I am to express that very word. And that word is not just a spoken word, but the spoken word becomes flesh in my own life. Is that right? So it is very important to realize that God is constantly speaking. The book of Hebrews, we can see that God is speaking, Jesus is speaking, the Holy Spirit is speaking, the apostles and the prophets and the angels, they are speaking. Those who heard God, they are speaking, confirming the things that they have heard God already saying, what God is declaring. God is a speaking God. And his word is truth. His word is the very substance of all things that was made. And that's why if we are made in the image and likeness of God, his word in us will do that. The word of God. When the word speaks, this is what you'll find. Let me read Hebrews chapter 4 really quickly from chapter 4, verse 1 to 3 and 11 and 13. When we talk about the word dimension, when we talk about the word of God, we're not just talking about, the Bible is the word of God, but how is that relevant to us is what God is saying now. what God is speaking at the moment. So we call it, you've heard the church say, preceding word. And so what God is saying now. And so let me read Hebrews chapter 4, verse 1 to 3. It says, therefore, since the promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. For indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them, but the word which they heard, they did not profit them, not being mixed with faith with those who heard it. So the key here is that the word was spoken, but they did not mix it with faith. Now, if you jump down to further a few verses down the track, it says this in verse 11. Let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest any fall according to the same example of that disobedience. For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of the soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give an account. Now, here we read that the word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. The word of God is so powerful and sharp. And when it comes in our lives, it is so sharp that it will divide the intents of our heart. It will search the intents of our hearts. And you know, when that happens, it can hurt. Do you know that? I don't know whether a two-edged sword will not hurt when it pierces the heart. But you will find that what it means is that the word of God is powerful and it searches our hearts, and you will find that it will find us out. It will search our hearts, and that will cause a process. We respond and mix it with faith. That word will then produce fruit, or it will have a process in us until that word becomes flesh. And so every time the word of God actually comes to us, it is challenging us to change, to repent, which means to change our thoughts, the way we think, and turn away from the fleshly things to the things of God. And so, and that's the reason why when we talk about the word of God, what God is saying now, it is so important for us to take that. And as you see in this verse, it says it's the intents of the heart. What we do sometimes, what we can do, is we try to address all the external issues that we have. But the thing is, as long as we don't deal with the things that's in our hearts, no matter how hard we try externally, all right, we can look good and, you know, we can come here and say the right thing. But you know that inside is not dealt with, it will manifest again, because that's what's inside of us. And so unless there's the word deals with us internally from our hearts, you will find that the same thing that we know we're not supposed to do will be repeated. So there must be something that happens internally. You know, without that, we will struggle and struggle and struggle. All right? And so that's why it's so important that when we hear the word, we do not become dull of hearing. And that's what can happen when we hear it. And those things that block it, there are many things that stops the word from entering our hearts. When we, for example, as you all know, next year onwards, I'm an IT technician at the moment. I'm working for an IT company. I don't know if we officially announce it, but I will be quitting my job and I'll be, not already serving the Lord, but I will be dedicating all of my time in the business of the Lord and serve Him fully with all of my time and all of my life. But you know, as this comes to me, all right, as I speak with my spiritual parents, as I consider, you know, when to make the move, and because I know that I will have to do this, but there was a struggle in my mind. When is the right time? What about the finance? And what about these things? And so a lot of times, a lot of things can block it to enter our hearts. And so sometimes what we can do as a result, we try to push things away and delay certain things, or even we shut ourselves down from those things. Sometimes it might be pride in our lives, and then it stops the word because of certain pride and because of certain attitudes that we have. The word cannot penetrate our hearts, and it falls on the ground, gets stolen, it gets choked, okay? But what I find is, as I was thinking about this and I was asking the Lord, one morning I woke up from my sleep and I saw these words very clearly. It says, set a time. Now, I had no idea exactly what it meant, but it was set a time. So I thought, okay, set a time for what? You know, I kept that in my heart. I wasn't sure. But those words were so clear. It wasn't audible, but it was so clear in my mind. As I woke up, that was the very first words that I could see. And it was so clear in my mind. Anyway, a few days after that, we were listening to some teachings and a prophetic teaching, and where this prophetic teacher was talking about how we should understand the times and that God puts a prophetic clock in the inside of our hearts. And when that clock ticks, you know, you will know things, you know, you will know when to do certain things. And that straight away connected everything for me. It connected everything, the timing. And so it's straight away, I was reminded of what I thought a few days ago as I woke up. And suddenly I felt in my heart, there was this peace. And I said, you know what? I fully say yes to this move, this transition that I want to make in my own personal life. You know, I'm not going to wrestle with everything that looks difficult to come my way, because it felt, and I say this because I really believe that it was something that had to be done internally. I could try and say, well, yeah, I'm just going to do it because I think it's the right way to do it. But I think until there is something that happens internally, we'll keep struggling and keep delaying. But when that sets in our hearts, it settles it. So that's why it is so important that the Word must work in our lives continually. Amen. So it's not just trying to address the external things. That's why, you know, that's why it should be that way. It's not we are not serving in certain aspects of what we do because it is a duty. It never can be a duty because it is something that God puts in our hearts, and it is from there that we serve. It's from there that we live, move, and have our being. Amen. So I want to encourage you this morning that, you know, let God do this internal work, all right? But the thing is, what we must do is not stopping the Word from coming. Today, the Scripture says, when you hear His voice, do not harden your heart. Do not harden your heart. So when God speaks all the time, when God is speaking, you know, if, you know, to be, you know, and as long as we agree with the Word, you know, I share parts where that makes me look good, but there are also parts that not that great about me either, you know, and the thing is, we are being changed daily. We're being changed as we continue to stay in the Lord, and our hearts must be, I want to do what I know God wants me, like, I want to do it the right way. I may not always have it right, you know, we all make mistakes and things like that, but I know that I want to have it right. And as long as God is speaking and I take His Word and I work with it, then I will be changed. I can look from now, and if I look back at so many things that I've done, even I'm talking within church, you know, maybe some don't notice, but when I evaluate, I'll use the word evaluate, some of the level of maturity of certain things that I did, boy, I feel ashamed. I'm very honest with you, you know. So the attitudes that, you know, I had, you know, maybe I didn't think, but I look back, I see, wow, there was pride in what I was doing. There was pride in the way I was saying things. There was pride in the way I was serving, you know. And so I realized that. But the thing is that never stopped me from serving, but God is working in my life. You know, we make mistakes, but God is merciful. But as long as we are willing to change and willing to make things right, we can change. It can be done. Amen. So let's keep our hearts open. And remember, when the Word of Truth comes, if you expect the Word of Truth to be, it's okay, Jesus loves you, it's all right, then you will not change. We will not change if that's all it is. You know, but certain things must be said and certain things must be addressed. We like it, we don't like it. You know, How would you like it if Jesus said, "Get behind me, Satan"? Wow. I tell you, that's offensive. You are not allowed to say that, right? Okay, I'm not saying that, I'm not giving anybody a license to say that to your neighbor, but I'm just saying that when certain things need to be said, Jesus said it, you know? And I'm not by any means saying that, you know, it's, you know, everybody just have a go at everybody. But what I'm saying is we all need to have a heart to desire to change, desire to recognize where we've gone wrong. Otherwise, the enemy will find a loophole in our lives because we say we love God, we worship God, we do all these things, and then the word comes to us, deals with us, we neglect it. See, remember in Hebrews it says, do not neglect this, you know, your salvation, this word that was preached to you. We neglect it, and what we allow? We allow the works of the enemy in our lives, and we give grounds to the enemy. And that's why we will find it difficult to fulfill destiny. Because our first assignment is to be in His image and in His likeness. And do you know that on the sixth day God created man, right, in His image and likeness. And on the seventh day He rested. There was a day of rest on the seventh day. When you and I come together as the body of Christ in the image and likeness of the same kind and of the same substance, on the seventh day, the day of rest, Jesus Christ will return and is coming back for His bride. And He's looking for those that will worship Him in spirit and in truth. Number two is the spirit dimension. The Holy Spirit is, how oftentimes, let's be honest with ourselves, have we done things with our own strength without the Holy Spirit, without really God being, you know, without really relying? How many times have we depended on our own capacity, our own strength, our own skills, our own abilities? How often have we done that? But God makes a covenant and He says, I will put my words, my spirit and my words and this word that I put in them will be in the next generation and that generation's generation and that generation and so on and so forth, right? So what a powerful thing that God wants to give us the word and the spirit, because we find that throughout scriptures, the word, God uses, Holy Spirit will always use the word. Right from Genesis, from the very beginning, when the whole world was in darkness and chaos, the Holy Spirit had to hover over the waters and God spoke the word. The Holy Spirit was there and the word was spoken. How much more, you know, when we live our life, you know, we need the Holy Spirit. And so we pray this morning that as we continue our walk with the Lord, that we ask that the consciousness of the Holy Spirit will become more and more real. Because without the Holy Spirit, the word is like the letter that kills, right? But the Spirit gives life, all right? That's the reason why when we take the Holy Spirit out of the picture, then the word, if we were just to take the word and the word, it becomes bondage, it becomes religion, it becomes do's and don'ts. And so we never find that place of rest, or can I do this, I can't do that, because we are trying to be bound by words rather than allowing the Holy Spirit to define what it means and because the thing, the Holy Spirit will work in our lives and that life gives us that freedom. Amen? That's why it's an internal work that takes place. It is no, you know, we can be told, don't do this, be raised up as a child, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this, and we don't do it for a time. But because our hearts are not changed internally, what happens is once there's no one to say, don't do it, don't do it, don't do it, you end up doing it afterwards because it was never dealt internally. So the word must be empowered by the Spirit. The letter brings religion. The Spirit gives us grace. That's why the word must be with the Holy Spirit. You know, how many times do we say, God spoke to me, God spoke to me, and God spoke to me, but we have no word dimension? That's a dangerous place. Very dangerous, because the Holy Spirit will always use the word. So, you know, I think it's a good thought. I think we should Be careful when we say the Lord spoke to me, because you know, if I know I'm not a person of the word, and I say God speaks to me, hopefully it is God that speaks to you. If not, then it could be another voice, because the Holy Spirit will use His word, and when the Holy Spirit speaks, He will not speak against His name, His nature, His morality, and His character. He will always be true to that. And if anything that we say God speaks, but it breaks any of that, then you know this is not God. Then you know it is not God. You know, it is so. It's important to have the Word and the Spirit, Holy Spirit together. Holy Spirit together. Because the Word without the Spirit is religion, and the Spirit without the Word is lawlessness. Because then it gives us a license to do anything. Oh, the God told me to do this and God told me to do that. And so everything is permissible because God said. But did God say? That's the other question, isn't it? That's why if we don't have this balance of the Word and of the Holy Spirit, we will struggle. Okay, and if we don't have the dimensions of the Holy Spirit, and I'm not saying that I'm there, but if we don't have that, then you will find that we will bound ourselves in religion. So the Holy Spirit, pray, strengthen ourselves, build ourselves in the Holy Spirit, live in the Spirit dimension. You know, in the Spirit dimension, as we read Romans chapter 8, Romans chapter 8, let me quickly, and I'll end this with this scripture. Romans chapter 8. We know that the Holy Spirit always points to Jesus. The Holy Spirit always points to Christ. Okay? And so if there are... Okay, let me read the scripture first. Verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending His Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. On the account of sin, He condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness requirement of the law might be fulfilled, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Now, verse 2 really quickly says, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, the Spirit of law in Christ Jesus is a law. There is order. There's a law in the Spirit, which we can't violate. You know, that's why, you know, we talk about, are we under law, under grace? But even in the Spirit, there's order, there's government, there's laws. And if we violate certain laws in the Spirit, we truly open ourselves up and we create a hole for and a loophole for the enemy to come and enter and make an entrance for the enemy. So in the Spirit, there are laws. There's protocol. And so... if I am to say I'm in the Spirit and I want to be in the image and likeness, I'm one with God in His Word, I'm one with Him in the Spirit. But if the Word is coming to us and the Spirit is bringing, is pricking our conscience about certain things, and we don't act upon these things, we are violating a law. We are violating the law because there is a spiritual law. And so to be filled with the Spirit, you know, to continually say, be filled with the Holy Spirit. But if we keep violating this, you're violating the law. And if you violate the law, we will not experience breakthrough, because we are now knowingly, consciously going against what we know is right. And that's not right. Right? So if you know that, you know, now I want you to think as I conclude with this now, is what has been God saying to our church? You know, and if you don't, go back to every Sunday message. There's, you can find it on our websites, www.evangel.org.au. You can go under the Sunday messages. You can re-listen to some of the messages. And what you will find is you can look at what God has been saying, issues that God has been dealing with. And if we knowingly know what God is saying, and we don't act upon it, and we just say, well, you know, I still worship God, I love God, and I'm one with God and one with God, but we neglect those things, what are we doing? We are violating the spiritual laws. And when we do that, how can we say we'll be one with Him? Right? When we consciously violate certain things of the Spirit, right? And so to be in the image and likeness is have a heart to really say, Lord, I want to be one. When your word comes, it will hurt, but it's for my good, all right? And the word will also encourage us. The word will also strengthen us. The word will also give us hope and give us a future. But there are times where the word will come like a two-edged sword, and it will pierce the joints and the marrows of the bones in every aspect of our life and know the intents of our hearts. Amen. So as we talk about being one in the image and likeness of God, let us be one with God in this manner first, in the word. The word. Let the word come. Let the word become part of our language. Let the word of God becomes the things that really becomes our source and really believe in and hang on to, and ask the Holy Spirit and pray in tongues and build ourselves on the most holy faith by praying in the Spirit and asking and really building ourselves and not violating or anything things that we know the Holy Spirit is saying. Because when the word comes and the Spirit is moving, things will change. Our lives will change in Jesus' name. So I declare that this morning, in Jesus' name, that the Word of God, the truth of the living God, is coming powerfully upon our lives this morning, examining the intents of our hearts, everything, the very deep things of man, for what knows the things of a man except that which is the Spirit, that which is in man. So we all have a spirit, and we've been born again. We know what is in our spirit. We know what is in our hearts. We know ourselves. No one has to tell us. We know what we need to deal with this morning. But the whole thing is the Holy Spirit also searching the deep things, and He knows the things of God. Let the Holy Spirit touch our own spirit this morning and give us insight, revelation, wisdom, understanding of the things. Let truth be revealed to us so that we will not be bound and left behind in the old, but we want to move in the new. As the Word of God comes fresh and powerfully, there will be a generation that will cry out like Mary and say, let it be done to me according to your word in the name of Jesus. There will be a generation like Enoch that is rising, not people who were born and died after Seth was raised when Abel was martyred, but there were people that were born after Seth, born and died. They were born and died, but there came a day when Enoch walked upon the earth and walked with God, and that was a different life. It was not just the normal natural routine that everybody does and everybody is part of, but he walked with God and God took him. I pray in the name of Jesus that the word and the spirit in our lives will become so real that our walk will not become a normal walk, but it will become supernatural in Jesus' name, and it will be life-changing in Jesus' name. Let the word become flesh in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Amen.